Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, gospel lesson. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the text. So, this last week, I had the opportunity to go out and meet somebody who is coming into our congregation. Had been talking to one of our members and said, I want to connect there. And so, well, first meeting, we prayed. Second meeting, we talked. And third meeting, I brought communion. And so when you bring communion to somebody's house or to the hospital, you bring a sermon, right? That's how it goes. So the first thing I get to preach about to this new person is the doctrine of the Trinity. Oh, is that a good idea? Let's go through a couple of things. First off, after the sermon, we'll have the Athanasian Creed. The first half of it will be speaking, which tells about how God the Father truly is God, God the Son truly is God, God the Holy Spirit truly is God. Athanasian Creed, the key to reading through it is knowing that you are reciting a long list of true statements and understanding that the saints of the early church struggled with, how do we express this to our world? To say, we believe in one God in three persons in one God. No, we don't believe in three gods. But yes, there are three persons in the one God. And they struggled with how to express that. We still do. Second thing to understand is that what Martin Luther did in the Small Catechism is an absolutely marvelous thing. And what he did was he said, this is the work of God the Father who created and preserves us, who gives every blessing every day, who watches over us, and all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who suffered and died and rose for us, and by his blood he has redeemed us, lost and condemned persons, purchased and won us from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. What has he done in our lives? Without him, we could not believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. And our Small Catechism says, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And this is the way of looking at the doctrine of the Trinity and saying, what has each of the persons of the Trinity done in that great plan of salvation? And that is absolutely the most amazing way of looking at the Trinity. Except that there is more. We go back into the Old Testament lesson, and we read that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Really? Okay. Part of the image of God is to be in relationships and have relationships between us and be part of this human community And this actually does, it really does reflect part of the image of God. This is one of the most amazing things about Christian doctrine and teaching, about the words and teachings of the Bible, that we are taught that God is not one God alone with no relationships, and then he creates. No, God is one God in three persons. So right at the core, right at the heart of this Christian faith, there is the image of God, and in the image of God, the teaching about relationships. So our God is not a loner. He is not all by himself singular, but there is within the Godhead, there is relationships. Relationships characterized by love, characterized by the expression of that love back and forth between the persons of the Trinity, and this is part of the image of God. So that if God is going to create man in his image, he cannot create Adam alone with nobody else. He has to create, back to that word, man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. It's got to be that way. And I don't think I'm going beyond the text when I say that when a young man and a young woman decide to come to the church and stand in front of God and be bride and groom, that this bride and groomness is a part of the image of God. It is what God created Adam and Eve to be, in relationship, devoted to each other and loving each other. That's a part of Trinity Sunday, which a whole lot of people come to church Trinity Sunday, they're expecting a very long and very dry creed, and not to hear anything about relationships, but just doctrine and abstracts. But there you are. We are made in the image of God, created to be in relationships, in marriages, in families, in communities, in congregations. This is part of the image of God. It is why human beings, here comes an interesting illustration, it's why human beings, when you isolate them and cause them to be absolutely, completely alone without any other human contact, we don't do well. And that theme goes through books and movies and real life. A book that you may have read, Robinson Crusoe, man isolated and longing for human companionship. A movie, Tom Hanks, Castaway. He's on a deserted island and he's so desperate for human companionship that he takes a volleyball and gives it a name and sets it there like it's another face, because he has to be in relationships. Why? Why is that? If I go home this evening and I look at my cats, they like relationships so long as the relationship brings them food. And when they're done with that, they trot off. Yeah, there are plenty of species in nature that are perfectly fine, being alone and on their own, but not human beings. Because we were created in the image of God. And then to push this into, another strand of thought and even philosophy. St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Yeah. Popularized in modern terms. Somebody said, there is a God-shaped hole in every human heart. And for us as human beings, created in the image of God, we were not created to be simply physical, material beings without a relationship with the eternal God, without the spiritual in our lives. And when human beings in this world try to live without that spiritual part of life, this is not only experience, this is warning. This is, watch what is happening around the world. When we try and live without that spiritual aspect, we go very, very wrong. And if we cut the true God out of that spiritual life, there is something else that will fill that gap. And that's why human beings wander into all kinds of mistakes and delusions in the spiritual realm. We cannot exist without our relationship with God. It must be there. So, that relationship with God. Back in the Old Testament, just one chapter later, you find Adam and Eve turning away from God. They take the fruit. And then what are they doing? They're hiding from God. They're denying things about themselves. They're accusing each other and accusing God. And so the whole rest of the history of the human race, the lostness of being out of that relationship, because, once again, that is part of being in the image of God, is that we must have that relationship and the relationships that we have in this world. It is the reason why you could take the whole of human history and write one word over it, and that one word would be broken. But God will not leave us, abandon us, and simply turn away. He created us to be in relationship with Him. And so what He does, God the Father sends Jesus into our world. Jesus steps into this physical world, down out of heaven, to walk among us, to restore relationships by being one of us, and in that relationship with us, to pull and draw us back to God, to restore not only the relationship, but to restore us to what we were designed to be. And in that bringing of the relationship, it should be no surprise that you find words of relationship and words of Trinity and words of the name of God there in the gospel lesson, baptizing them into what? It doesn't say baptizing them into new life. It doesn't say baptizing them into repentance and righteousness. It says baptizing them in the name which means relationship again, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so we are drawn from our sin into walking with God. We are baptized in the name of God who created us and where we have our beginning. In the name of God the Son who suffered and died and rose for us. And so we are redeemed. We are washed clean. We are restored. We are made new in the eyes of God. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who then takes all of the work of Jesus and brings it right into our hearts, so that he brings the Word of God, creates the spark of faith, makes us new, brings us into that relationship, and then we walk in a relationship with God. Today, tomorrow, all our days in this world, and then all the days of eternity. All of this is something that is marked out by God right at the beginning of the Bible, that we are made in His image. In the name of Jesus, amen.